So that's where the picture of the football team, mm-hmm. with the two coaches, and there's a Caucasian fellow and myself.
Oh.
So we were co-captains of the varsity football team. Now, there's a varsity, there's an A and B team, lesser league. Varsity was the top thing, and I was Willie Provins and I went all the way through together. And there was a quarterback by the name of Terry Krosky, and he was the champion of the runners because he was very shifty. And we worked there as a team. And so my high school varsity football career was very, very satisfying.
Were there other Nisei on the team?
I was the only the lesser league had Japanese, but I was the only Japanese in the varsity football. And 4 years ago, Terry Krosky's wife called and said that Terry had passed away. So we're going to have this funeral at the Methodist Church in San Pedro. Would you say a few words? And I said, I'd be more than happy to. So when that day came for me to attend the funeral, I looked down on the audience and I saw all my former teammates sitting there. And I thought to myself, my gosh, we've all grown older, you know. But then when it was time for me to speak, I said, I noticed among the audience all the teammates that I used to play, and I'm so glad that I'm here to pay homage to Terry, who was a leader among us. And then after the funeral, they had the social hall where they had a refreshment and so forth. And all the guys came and hugged me and shook hands. And I says, this has been one of the highlights, seeing most of you. But he said they mentioned several names that had passed on already. But just to see the guys that I worked with was a very memorable occasion for me.
And you hadn't seen them all?
I haven't seen them at all.
After high school?
Yes, after high school. And then another thing. When the evacuation came for the Japanese at Terminal Island, you know, we had to leave. That same year, in the Fox Theater in San Pedro, there was a newsreel showing a young officer pointing his finger at a plane that was going by, and someone in the audience says, that's Yutaka. And to the amazement of some of the guys who were there, the very next day, they went down to the ferry landing area. They put an effigy with my name stuck out there. They hauled a rope around the rafter.
Oh my goodness.
And they hanged me up Yutaka, are you a traitor? And so when I came back for the class reunion, one of the spokesmen said, Yutaka, we got to tell you something. And they related what had happened. And I said to the class guys, how in the devil would you think that I would be a, how would I have gone to Japan? And I says, well, the story was that I was on my dad's boat going toward Catalina Island. Halfway down the channel, a submarine came up. And I got on that and went back to Japan.
Oh, my goodness.
I said, it's incredible. I said, I just can't believe that you would think of such a thing. When I'm as American as apple pie, and I hardly speak Japanese. He says, I know, that was the rumor that went on, and we want you to know before someone else tells you what had happened. So it dampened my spirit, naturally, for this thing, but I made out as if nothing had happened. And
when was that you learned about this?
When I came back.
From camp or after
camp, after my war experiences, and then we had our class reunion.
Okay.
And at the class reunion, all the seniors that were there,
goodness.
So that was another chapter in my
life. Well, that reminds me, when you went first to junior high school in San Pedro, was the first time you'd been around that many white kids.
Yeah.
What was that experience like?
Very, very pleasant. No prejudice or racism or anything. We all went together. So it was a happy experience.
And high school as well?
And same way with high school. In fact, in high school I enjoyed it more because, more matured, and I was elected the president of the Japanese club. And I was experiencing high school was this, there was a complaint among the teachers that the Japanese, during the recess or luncheon period, they would all be together in Japanese group speaking in Japanese. And we want our students to intermingle more with the others. So they said, Yutaka, I noticed that you're always among the whites socializing and so forth. Would you mind at this special assembly mention the concern of the teachers that the Japanese student bodies would intermingle more? And I said, I hate to do that. Who am I to tell? And I would say, no way. But the principal and others would urge me as a favor to at least, as one Japanese or the other, to say a few words. Not too much, but and then the principal would take over. So that one morning we had this special assembly, and I explained that I was asked to say something about the Japanese being one's place, and that they would appreciate it if we Japanese would intermingle more with the other Anglo things. And then the principal came on this thing and explained that in life we have to start learning how to live with the other world, because they knew we were from Terminal Island. See? So that was another experience that I had to go through.
How did the other Japanese students feel about it?
I'm sure there must have been some that didn't feel too good about it. You know, who am I to... But when you try to explain it, and then to say you're becoming like a teacher's pet, or, you know, this kind of a situation. Yeah. So there must have been... But I didn't mind it.
And did they start mingling more or not?
There were some, but not all.
Were the Japanese students were just from Terminal Island, or were there also from San Pedro too?
There were some from the Palos Verdes Hills.
Oh.
They were farmers.
Mm-hmm.
So they were Japanese.
Uh-huh.
So they all intermingled with the Terminal Islanders.
Oh, well, that was a long way for them to come to school, wasn't it?
Well, it was up in the hills.
Uh-huh.
So it wasn't too far away.
Oh.
Yeah.
What? But that reminds me, it seems like so many of the families on Terminal Island sent their children back to Japan for education. And then I understand that the Kibei had trouble when they came back because their English wasn't very good. Had your parents thought about sending you and your brother and sisters?
Not at all. Not at all. We were spared that.
What was the attitude towards the Kibei?
Well, when the Kibei came back, they had to make an adjustment. And they spoke more Japanese than English, naturally. So the Kibeis, they mingled well with the rest of us. But we knew that they had, some of them would relate the struggle they had in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would empathize with them. And otherwise, it was okay.
Were there many Kibei in San Pedro High School?
Yes. Mm-hmm. There was quite a few Kibeis in there, too.
Mm-hmm. Now, was there any, did you start dating when you were in high school then?
Yes.
Did you date people from your high school, or still from Los Angeles?
From Los Angeles.
And they were always Japanese?
They were Japanese. Oh. They're all Japanese.
Would your family have been upset if you had dated a white person, an Anglo?
That never came to their mind.
Did it ever come to yours?
Yes. A lot of the Anglo girls wanted to date me.
Well, as a football star, not a surprise.
But I wasn't at the stage where I was in a dating mood with the other race, you know. But I was flattered to be asked, you know.
Now, what would you do when you went out on dates? Would you go into Los Angeles?
Yes.
And what would you do on a date?
Let's see. Most of the time it was church activities that we would have socials and so forth. And we'd pick her up and we would go. So mostly it was very harmless, just going to picture shows, dancing.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time we socialized in the church activities of the Baptists.
Okay. So you were still Baptist at that point?
Yes, at that time I was Baptist.
Now, when you were about to graduate from high school, what did you have in mind as your future plan?
Before graduating, Gitzel Morikawa, my mentor, said, there is a Bible college called Western Bible College in Los Angeles. And I would certainly recommend that you attend a college for your future plan, whatever it may be. So I took him at his advice. So from high school, I went directly to Western Bible College. And that was a young college just starting out.
Mm.
And after 2 years there, the war broke out, see. But before, it's, you know, before the war, after high school, during those 2 years, they start talking that they're going to expand Western Bible College into a four-year college, which they renamed Westmont College.
Okay.
So it was in that stage where they were changing their name from Western Bible College to Westmont College that I was evacuated.
Oh, okay.
See?
Now, you weren't home then when your father was arrested.
No.
What did the family tell you what had happened?
Yes. They said that during the nighttime, there's a knock on the door, and the FBI came and told Dad that he used to be taken in, which he was expecting, naturally. Mm-hmm. And so there was the first inkling that the war had begun, and all the leaders of the Eternal Islands were first taken, which my dad was also. But later on, the order went out for all fishermen in Terminal Islands were to be taken. So they all left, leaving the mom and the families alone in that whole area. And during that time, my brother called me at the college and says, stay as long as you can, because, you know, we can't do anything here. But then we start hearing rumors about the Japanese going to be evacuated. So I came home to support my brother and my mother and so forth. And during that period, I don't know whether it was the FBI or nothing, but men were banging against the door, I mean, against the side of the house, frightening the mothers and so forth. And when I saw that man doing that, I went out there and said, why are you frightening the mothers? You know they're alone. And he said, now, who the damn hell are you? So, well, I'm an American citizen, you know. I don't appreciate things of this sort. And he says, you get back into your home and stay there, or I'll turn you in. So that was an experience that I had. But then I went back, you see. And then the 48-hour notice came. Mm-hmm. And Kiyoshi says, don't come back. I said, I got everything already. Mm-hmm. We have friends in Los Angeles that would take us in. So that's what happened during that time.
So you went back to the college?
Yes.
And how did people in Los Angeles treat you and react to you once the war had started?
Among the college people, there was nothing at all. Mm-hmm. They were just one of us. And of course, in the Christianity, you know, compassion, love. Mm-hmm. And so that's what happened.
And how about on the streets?
I tried to stay away as much as possible on the street there because things were going pretty bad in there. Because the Chinese were saying, I am Chinese. Because they must have had an experience.
Yeah, they put signs up.
Yeah.
Yeah, saying, they didn't say, I'm Chinese. They said, I'm not a Jap. That's what their sign said. what I was confused as to, so then you stayed with a family in Los Angeles.
Yes, the family rented an apartment for us.
And what did your mother try and put your things in storage, or did you just leave everything?
Most of it was in storage, yeah.
And the boat was just left?
Left.
Oh. Now, I couldn't figure out why your family ended up in Colorado when so many other Terminal Islanders went to Manzanar.
Because we were in the Los Angeles area where the Los Angeles section went to Colorado.
Were there other Terminal Islanders in where you were in Colorado?
Or no.
Were you the only
I was about the only one.
Because at Manzanar, I know there, the blocks were next to each other for other Terminal Islanders.
All Terminal Islanders went to Manzanar.
Right, right.
Whereas I, as a Los Angeles resident, see, I wasn't a Terminal Islander anymore. Oh. I was a...
Now, was your father... Where did they send your father when after they picked him up?
Gee...
Did they send him to Arkansas?
No. He went to New Mexico, Montana, two or three places that he was sent.
Oh, and then did they, when you all were put in camp, then was he able to rejoin you?
Eventually he came back, yes.
And you were in camp for how long before you went back to the Midwest?
About 3 months.
Oh.
So it was a very short period because the War Relocation Center was sending out college students who wished to further their education.
How did your family feel about your leaving?
They felt it was good. I mean, then I should finish up my education.
And were your sisters were not old enough to
Yeah. They all stayed in camp.
So you were the only one who left?
I was the only one in camp.
So what was your experience like those 3 months? It was a much smaller camp.
Yes.
I guess, than the others.
It was a community camp, you know. Everybody knew each other. Different region from California, from Livingston, California, L.A., mostly from L.A., it was smaller. So we were able to socialize with all, very much so.
Was it was it like the other camps with the barbed wire and the guards and with the guns?
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was much smaller.
Yes.
And where in Colorado was it exactly? I'd never heard
They
of
called it
before.
Lamar, Colorado.
Huh.
L-A-M-A-R.
Oh, okay. Because I've never heard of that camp before. Are you getting tired?
No.
Can you go for another half hour or so?